الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. The beauty of a person is generally considered to be what's external. So indeed that is also part of beauty. But the real beauty of a person is what is inside him. The external beauty, no matter what a person can try to do to maintain it the way it is, but with the passage of time, can use the most expensive cosmetics, can do whatever else that he wishes to try to do, but that will fade. It will never ever remain the way it is. And one day, that beauty will all become the food for the ants in the grave. That will be the end of it. But even in life also, it doesn't remain the way it is, keeps fading. Let alone fading with the passage of time, even before it has faded visibly with the passage of time, if a person's inner beauty is lacking, then the external beauty also becomes completely without any attraction. It loses all its luster and attraction. Very simple example and understanding of that is, somebody got married to someone only for the sake of external beauty, but then barely 1 week into marriage, he's hearing or she's hearing all kinds of vulgarity from the person. The worst kind of character is being witnessed. All kinds of evil is now the norm and the order of the day from this person. Then that external beauty will all lose its complete, it will totally be lost and forgotten. There'll be a deep sense of aversion to the person. Whereas nothing has changed externally. Externally everything is the way it was 1 week ago. But despite that, it becomes a very difficult thing to even look at the person. What happened? The ugliness of the inside, that got exposed. So that ugliness of the inside, it overcame all the external beauty, and as a result there's now aversion. So the real thing is the internal beauty. That is what has to be developed. And that keeps growing even with the passage of time when a person makes the right effort on it. Unlike the external beauty, no matter what effort is made, it fades. And the internal beauty, with the passage of time, if the right effort is made, it grows. So now among the internal beauty is all about values, all about what is within a person's heart, what kind of akhlaq there is in that heart. And for a mu'min, it starts off right with the very essence of iman in his heart. And all these sifat and values and attributes of iman. And then the beautiful and noble akhlaq that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought and displayed, to the extent that a person, he brings those characteristics within his life, to that extent his inner beauty grows, and that will shine in everything in his life. So now there's numerous things in this regard that are all part of this inner beauty of a person. And among them, one very vital aspect is that of adab, respect. Now respect, everybody understands what's respect. And we very easily understand it, especially when we feel we have been disrespected by somebody. then nobody needs any explanation of what is respect. And this is a very common complaint. Parents have the complaint, my children don't respect me. Spouses complain about one another that there's just no respect. Employees sometimes complain that the employer just treats the person with complete disregard and disrespect. And whenever there's somebody has crossed the line of respect, then it causes great amount of offense on the other side. When a husband feels he was disrespected by his wife, that becomes a very serious problem for him. His whole day is spoiled, his night is spoiled, sometimes his whole mind is now completely in disarray because he felt he was badly disrespected by his wife and she's got no respect, etc. This sometimes then drags on, then he'll maybe go into the silent mode and give the silent treatment for days on end, maybe weeks on end. And what happened? That my wife disrespected me. So that disrespect became such a serious matter. It is. Disrespect is not a good thing at all. It's a serious matter. But just as we understand that what we require in terms of people's respect for ourselves, and if somebody has crossed the line of respect, has disrespected us, what offense we feel, how offended we are, and how hurt we become, and then how we react. So now this as an introduction, now to understand that the first and most important respect is the respect for Allah. That is a detailed discussion on its own, and that is obviously step one. And then next is the respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now again, keeping in mind this introduction, that how important respect is, and to what extent we feel offended if somebody has disrespected us. Whereas the whole creation put together, the respect that the creation deserves, whoever, whatever, in whichever capacity, all put together. Every father, what respect he deserves from his children, all that, and indeed every father must be respected. Every senior, what respect he deserves, and he deserves respect. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, just to highlight the aspect of a person who is just senior in age, but deen has taught us respect him as well for his age. Obviously, everything within the limits of Sharia. مَا أَكْرَمَ شَابٌ شَيْخًا لِلسِّنِّ إِلَّا قَيَّضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَنْ يُكْرِمُهُ عِنْدَ سِنِّهِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person, a young person has respected somebody because of his age, he assisted him, he spoke to him in a respectful manner. Why? This is an elder person. This out of his seniority in age. And as a result, he served him, he helped him maybe. Person was having a battle walking, he assisted him. Person needed some whatever kind of help he did. When the time comes for him to reach old age, Allah will appoint some young person to serve him and respect him and to make his ikram. This was out of that consideration that he gave to somebody just purely on seniority of age. Subhanallah, what can we imagine then that if that person now was his own father, was his grandfather, was a person of piety, was a person of great knowledge, all these things gathered in somebody, subhanallah. What the point is, that all this respect put together, what everybody deserves, on one side, the respect that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam deserves is far greater than all this. Now the question for ourselves is, that we have understood that this is the extent of respect that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam deserves and what he should be shown. The question is, what extent of respect do we show to him? What extent of respect do we have for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Obviously every mu'min does have respect. Without respect there can be no iman. If a person is devoid of respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's no iman. There can be no iman. So yes, every mu'min does have respect. But every child also has some respect for the father. But the father is not just happy with just any level of respect. So not, this is not, it's there but not good enough. That now sometimes 50-50 kind of story, sometimes it's fine and sometimes it's not fine. He's not happy with that. No husband is happy with a 50-50 kind of story now. That his wife sometimes respects him and sometimes doesn't respect him. Sometimes she talks to him correctly and sometimes she is rude and abrupt. Then he's not satisfied with that. Alhamdulillah, every mu'min has respect in his heart. But is it the kind of respect and the level of respect that is required of a mu'min? Is it the level of respect that is required of an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So if a child is not respectful to the level required, the father is still going to be concerned about it. He's still going to try to sort this out. If a wife is not respectful to the husband the way that she should be respecting him, okay, there's some level of it there, but not good enough, then he's still going to try to sort this out in some way or the other. We have to search in our hearts, in our lives, that if we are not in the level of respect that we should be showing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to sort ourselves out. Before that moment comes when life is gone, and then we will have to face him on the day of Qiyamah. And can we imagine what a situation it would be, Allah save us, that we have to face him on the day of Qiyamah when we will be requiring his shafa'ah and his intercession. We will be desperately in need of the water of Kawthar from his Mubarak hand. But we have been raised as ummatis who were partly respectful and partly disrespectful. That will be a very dangerous moment for us. Allah save us from such a situation. So now what is the respect that is required from every mu'min, from every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the respect is qalban and qawlan and fi'lan. Qalban, respect from the recesses of the heart. That obviously starts off with iman on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and respecting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the heart and soul. This is respect for Allah Ta'ala himself. Like following and obeying Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obedience to Allah Ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. The one who is obedient to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is indeed obedient to Allah. So similarly and likewise, the one who truly has respect for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he ought to have respect, then this actually tantamounts to respect for Allah Ta'ala. Because it is respect for the being that sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is respect for the being that granted this great honor to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is the respect in the heart, first and foremost iman. Iman and testifying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah Ta'ala. And then wholeheartedly accepting him as our only guide in life. And wholeheartedly accepting that the path and the way of life that he has shown and he has displayed and he has taught, that is the very best. And nothing else can come anywhere close to it. And that salvation in dunya and akhirat is only in his Mubarak way. That is all deep down in the heart. And then alongside that comes the deep mahabba and the love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is part of this respect for him, that our heart should be filled with mahabba and love for him. And this is part of iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself declared that la yu'minu ahadukum, that you cannot have iman. Meaning your iman is not really where it should be. حَتَّى أَكُونَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Until I am more beloved to him than his parents, than his children. These are the closest people to somebody. Parents and children. So the parents, the children, and the entire humanity. Now the question is that what is the extent of love in our hearts for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How will we know? We will have to judge it by what we do in life, what we give preference to, what his Mubarak command is, his way of life is, what somebody else is demanding against it, what somebody else wants to do which is contrary to that. Part of this mahabba and this love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands, and this will be a sign of the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, that we are eager to know more about him. We are eager to learn about him. We are eager to understand who the great personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. Now if we just take a little bit of stock of ourselves, how much we have learned, known, we can just rattle off many, many facts about futile things. That team, each player, and which year that person scored some goals, and whatever else, all that we know. That team, who hit which six and how many times, and what did this benefit insan in any way? Nothing, zero. What did these people benefit humanity in any way by kicking one ball between three posts? Zero. They benefited nobody, nothing. They only benefited their own pockets and the pockets of those who use this for their purposes. They benefited nobody, nothing. People think they benefited, okay, because the obsession with entertainment. So they got some cheap entertainment. Nothing else. Nothing. Insan benefited out of this. Somebody hit some six. What insan benefited from it? Which starving person's stomach got filled with that? Which person lying in some hospital got helped because he didn't have any money to go and sort his lying at home, he needed some operation, can't get it done because the state hospital gave an appointment 15 months away. How did that help any insan? But we know about all these details. Can we imagine we have to face Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? We knew about all these kuffar, and we knew about all their futile things. But if we ask ourselves the question about the most basic facts of seerah, the most very, very fundamental details about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family, those who, they underwent so much of sacrifice so that deen could reach us, iman could reach us. Who were his daughters? How many daughters did he have? What were their names? Sometimes we'll be surprised, we doubting about, what is this? We know the whole team, 12 people and all this. Who was on substitute also we know. So now this knowledge and becoming acquainted about the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is just the very basics. What about the way of life that he lived? What about all his personal characteristics? What about his beautiful akhlaq? And what about how he lived as a husband? We've never learnt it. That is why we don't know how to live as husbands sometimes. How did he conduct himself as a father? We haven't learnt it. We were reading more social media than ever reading about the Mislasam Sirat. If we have to add up all the pages that we've read over time of social media, and we compare that to the number of pages we've read about the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is there any comparison? So now this learning about his Mubarak life, not just for the sake of historical facts, but one is that's a dictate of love. And together with that, to emulate it, to make it part of our life, to follow in those Mubarak footsteps, because there is no salvation besides this path of life. So one is deep down in the heart, qalban. And then that itself is what will bring the rest of the forms of respect, qawlan, respect verbally. Verbal respect. So now there's much detail in all this, but just to touch on the some few points. One is, how much do we remember Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam verbally? What will be the verbal remembrance? By form of Durood Sharif, recitation of Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam daily. And this Durood Sharif that a person recites, this too is Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, and this too is the great love Allah has for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the person reciting Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is doing himself the greatest favor. Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashara. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the one who recites one Durood on me, Allah sends 10 blessings on him. He is sending one durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he is receiving 10 blessings from Allah Ta'ala. The favor was on himself. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is elevated to a position where if nobody recites any durood, that's not going to decrease his position in any way. That's not going to decrease his maqam and position in one bit also. But we do ourselves the greatest favor by reciting salawat and durood sharif on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now today is the day of Jumu'ah. The day of Jumu'ah starts off from the night before, from Maghrib. Thursday Maghrib is already the day of Jumu'ah. And by today Maghrib, Jumu'ah will be over. And on the day of Jumu'ah, we have been exhorted by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to increase salawat and recitation of durood. But today now, it's already in our last few hours left. But so much of time has passed. How many times have I recited durood and salawat in this time that has passed on this Jumu'ah already? Now, is this not a dictate of respect that I should be remembering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day? How much durood do we recite on average every day? At least 100 times? That's the bare minimum. This is bare minimum. Can you imagine a person now, he's really been kind to somebody, really taught him a lot of things, he's mentored him, and he's taken him through the paces, and everything happens, and now every now and again he hears this person is talking about somebody else, talking about that person, but he never mentions once something about the favors this person has done to him, all the effort that he put behind him, and whatever else went through it, and he took him through all the paces, set him up in business somewhere, and he helped him how to go about, taught him the ropes. He got no time to remember the person who taught him all this. All the favors people do for us, we should be thankful for it. We should be grateful for it. But everybody's favors put together doesn't amount to a fraction of the favors of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the Ummah. An-Nabiyu awla bil mu'mineena min anfusihim. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is closer to the believers than themselves. Now what appreciation have we shown and what respect have we shown in the form of verbal respect by the recitation of salawat and durood sharif on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, as we mentioned right at the beginning, that when somebody crosses the line of respect with us, it becomes a very big offense. We are very hurt by it. Husbands give wives silent treatment for weeks sometimes. It is cruel. It is a very cruel thing. We have to sort the problem out. That's a covered way of going about things. But in any case, the point is that we feel so offended and so hurt. An employee feels so hurt when he's disrespected by the employer. And spouses feel disrespected. Parents feel disrespected when children disrespect them. What is the dictates of respect with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how much are we fulfilling it? Part of that is this verbal respect and by remembrance of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the recitation of salawat and durood. How much do we do this daily? When the month of Rabiul Awwal comes, generally there's a lot of consciousness about the Mubarak personality of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, we should be remembering him all the time. But this is not a customary thing. One day in the some year, a few days in the year, a few occasions in the year, we then some lip service, and then we forget about everything. Like, we'll see next year now. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's respect has to be all the time with us. And the salawat at least 100 times daily, this is a minimum, bare minimum. At least sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very nice way, with great amount of respect, great amount of love. Imagine the whole day went past, and who not we spoke about, and what not we discussed. But we couldn't recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times. How long did it take? 3 minutes. 3 minutes to dedicate to remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day, out of 1,400 some minutes, we couldn't find the 3 minutes. How will we deal with this on the day of Qiyamah when we will require his shafa'ah in intercession? So the second thing was qawlan, verbally. And then respect fi'lan, by your actions. Somebody, mashallah, he praises his father. My father is a wonderful person. And then he expresses his respect for his father and everything. But then he's behaving in a way in front of the father that's very embarrassing to him. The father is present. Now maybe once upon a time this was standard. Maybe now it's not so much standard. Many a person who fell into the very bad and wrong habit of smoking, but the last thing he'll do is light up in front of his father. Even if he's, no matter how desperate for that smoke at that time, because of the bad habit that he has. But the last thing he'll do is light up in front of his father. Why? This is a serious disrespect. Some people say nowadays that that's history. Allah knows best. Wallahu alam. Allah Ta'ala save us from all levels of disrespect. But there was that level of respect. I can't do this in front of my father. I imagine that child now, he talks so greatly about his father, and so much he expresses a verbal respect for his father, and then he's lighting up in front of the father. Can't be bothered how he's conducting himself. What, how he's... So now the father doesn't feel too good about all the verbal respect alone. But this is bad. This is... How does this fit into the whole equation? Now he's behaving in this manner, disrespectfully. So likewise, the respect in action for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to live the way he taught us to live. Not to live in the way that his enemies live. To take to heart his sunnah. Not to take to heart the way of the Yahud and Nasara. Our appearance should emulate his Mubarak appearance. Not the appearance of those who defy him. Those who deny him. Those who contradict him. Our businesses should be run on the principles that he taught. Not the way that the Yahud have taught how to conduct business. Like for example, they say, mustn't make money with your money. Make money with the bank's money. In other words, borrow on interest. So whose words are these? The Yahudi. Who taught this? Because they need to run their banks. So now they need to make everybody think like them. So say, no, you mustn't make money with your money. Your money, you do something else with it. You must make money with the Yahudi's money, so that the Yahudi can make money out of you. So now the whole mind gets corrupted because we left the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we emulate them in our businesses. It's time for a wedding. Oh no, the way of wedding that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, that nikah, inna a'zaman nikahi barakatan aysaruhu mu'na, the nikah wherein the greatest barakat lies is the nikah wherein it is the most simple, most, the least expenditure involved in it. No, this will be looking like a funeral. How can we have it like this? We have to have it in the style that the Yahud and Nasara have. There has to be that music and dancing also in it. And then all the kind of dressing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is deeply hurt with, lacking any kind of shame, that must become the norm. So now where's the respect for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all this? And how are we going to face him on the day of Qiyamah? Our lip service respect is not going to help on that day. On that day, the true respect from the depths of the heart. Indeed, the respect verbally as well, talking about his Mubarak life, celebrating his way of life, reciting salawat on him, and then the respect in action, that we emulate him, we love his Mubarak way, we make efforts to bring alive his Mubarak sunnah, make effort to spread his sunnah on the earth, his way of life on earth, in our families, within our homes, within our extended families. This is what's going to bring us closer to him. This is what's going to gain us his shafa'ah and intercession on the day of Qiyamah. This is what's going to become the means of gaining the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. This is the way of salvation in dunya and akhirah. So this is what we have to aspire for. This is what we have to work towards. It doesn't come by listening to one talk. It doesn't come by reading one book. It's an effort. We have to join the company of people who are truly in love with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who truly respect him, who emulate him and imbibe this from their lives. We have to read about his Mubarak personality. We have to hear about it also. Recite abundant salawat and durood sharif. And inshallah, all this will take us some way forward. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.